The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 5, The Purity of Devotional Service. All of the previous instructions imparted by Srila Rupa Goswami in his broad statements can be summarized thus. As long as one is materially inclined or desirous of merging into the spiritual effulgence, one cannot enter into the realm of pure devotional service. Next, Rupa Goswami states that devotional service is transcendental to all material considerations, and that it is not limited to any particular country, class, society, or circumstance. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, devotional service is transcendental and has no cause. Devotional service is executed without any hope for gain, and it cannot be checked by any material circumstances. It is open for all, without any distinction, and is the constitutional occupation of the living entities. In the Middle Ages, after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya's great associate, Lord Nityananda, a class of priestly persons claimed to be the descendants of Nityananda, calling themselves the Goswami caste. They further claimed that the practice and spreading of Krishna's devotional service belonged only to their particular class, which was known as the Nityananda Vamsa. In this way, they exercised their artificial power for some time, until Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the powerful Acharya of the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, completely smashed their idea. There was a great hard struggle for some time, but it has turned out successful, and it is now correctly and practically established that devotional service is not restricted to a particular class of men. Besides that, anyone who is engaged in devotional service is already at the status of being a high-class brahmana. So, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's struggle for this movement has come out successful. It is on the basis of his position that anyone can now become a Gaudiya Vaishnava from any part of the world or any part of the universe. Anyone who is a pure Vaishnava is transcendentally situated, and therefore the highest qualification in the material world, namely to be in the mode of goodness, has already been achieved by such a person. Our Krishna consciousness movement in the Western world is based on the above-mentioned proposition of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami Prabhupada, our spiritual master. On his authority, we are claiming members from all sections of the Western countries. The so-called brahmanas claim that one who is not born into a brahmana family cannot receive the sacred thread and cannot become a high-grade Vaishnava. But we do not accept such a theory because it is not supported by Rupa Goswami or by the strength of the various scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami specifically mentions herein that every man has the birthright to accept devotional service and to become Krishna conscious. He has given many evidences from the scriptures, and he has especially quoted one passage from Padma Purana, wherein the sage Vasishtha tells King Dilipa, quote, "My dear king, anyone who has the right to execute devotional service, just as he has the right to take an early bath in the month of Magh, December, January." There is more evidence in the Skanda Purana in the Kashi Kanda portion where it is said, quote, "In the country known as Mayuradwaj, the lower caste people, who are considered less than Shudras, are also initiated in the Vaishnava cult of devotional service. And when they are properly dressed, with tilak on their bodies and beads in their hands and on their necks, they appear to be coming from Vaikuntha. In fact, they look so very beautiful that immediately they surpass the ordinary brahmanas." End quote. Thus, a Vaishnava automatically becomes a brahmana. This idea is also supported by Sanatan Goswami in his book Hari Bhakti Vilas, which is the Vaishnava Guide. Therein, he has clearly stated that any person who is properly initiated into the Vaishnava cult certainly becomes a brahmana, as much as the metal known as kamsa, bell metal, is turned into gold by the mixture of mercury. A bona fide spiritual master under the guidance of authorities can turn anyone to the Vaishnava cult so that naturally he may come to the topmost position of a brahmana. Srila Rupa Goswami warns, however, that if a person is properly initiated by a bona fide spiritual master, he should not think that simply by the acceptance of such initiation his business is then finished. one still has to follow the rules and regulations very carefully. If, after accepting the spiritual master and being initiated, one does not follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, then he is again fallen. One must be very vigilant to remember that he is part and parcel of the transcendental body of Krishna, and that it is his duty as part and parcel to give service to the whole, or Krishna. If we do not render service to Krishna, then again we fall down. In other words, simply becoming initiated does not elevate one to the position of a high-class brahmana. One also has to discharge the duties and follow the regulative principles very rigidly. Sri Rupa Goswami also says that if one is regularly discharging devotional service, there will be no question of a fall down. But even if circumstantially there is some fall down, a Vaishnava need not have nothing to do with the prayaschita, the ritualistic ceremony for purification. If someone falls down from the principles of devotional service, he need not take to the prayaschita performances for reformation. He simply has to execute the rules and regulations for discharging devotional service, and this is sufficient for his reinstatement. This is the mystery of the Vaishnava devotional cult. Practically, there are three processes for elevating one to the platform of spiritual consciousness. These processes are called karma, jnana, and bhakti. Ritualistic performances are in the field of karma. Speculative processes are in the field of jnana. One who is taken to bhakti, the devotional service of the Lord, need have nothing to do with karma or jnana. It has already been explained that pure devotional service is without any tinge of karma or jnana. Bhakti should have no tinge of philosophical speculation or ritualistic performances. In this connection, Srila Rupa Goswami gives evidence from Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 21st chapter, verse 2, in which Lord Krishna says to Uddhava, quote, "The distinction between qualification and disqualification may be made in this way. Persons who are already elevated in discharging devotional service will never again take shelter of the processes of fruitive activity or philosophical speculation. If one sticks to devotional service and is conducted by the regulative principles given by the authorities and acharyas, that is the best qualification." End quote. This statement is supported in Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st canto, 5th chapter, verse 17, wherein Sri Narada Muni advises Vyasadeva thus, quote, "Even if one does not execute his specific occupational duty, but immediately takes direct shelter of the lotus feet of Hari, Krishna, there will be no fault in his part, and in all circumstances his position is secure. Even if, by some bad association, he falls down while executing devotional service, or if he doesn't finish the complete course of devotional service and dies untimely, still, he is not at a loss. A person who is simply discharging his occupational duty in varna and ashram, however, with no Krishna consciousness, practically does not gain the true benefit of human life." End quote. The purport is that all conditioned souls who are engaged very frantically in activities of sense gratification without knowing that this process will never help them get out of material contamination are rewarded only with repeated births and deaths. In the 5th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is clearly stated by Rishabhdev to his sons, quote, "Persons engaged in fruitive activities are repeatedly accepting birth and death, and until they develop a loving feeling for Vasudeva, there will be no question of getting out of from these stringent laws of material nature." End quote. As such, any person who is very seriously engaged in his occupational duties in the varnas and ashrams, and who does not develop love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, should be understood to be simply spoiling his human form of life. This is confirmed also in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th chapter, verse 32, in which the Lord says to Uddhava, quote, "My dear Uddhava, any person who takes shelter of me in complete surrender and follows my instructions, giving up all occupational duties, is to be considered the first-class man." End quote. In this statement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it is understood that people who are generally attached to philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, political, and social welfare activities may be considered nice men only in the calculation of the material world. From Srimad Bhagavatam and other authentic Vedic scriptures, we learn that further We learn further that if a person simply acts in Krishna consciousness and discharges devotional service, he is considered to be far, far better situated than all of those persons engaged in philanthropic, ethical, moral, altruistic, or social welfare activities. The same thing is still more emphatically confirmed in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, 5th chapter, verse 41, in which Karabhajan Muni addresses Maharaj Nimi as follows, quote, "My dear king, if someone gives up his occupational duties as they are prescribed for the different varnas and ashrams, but takes complete shelter, surrendering himself unto the lotus feet of the Lord, such a person is no more a debtor, nor has he any obligation to perform the different kinds of activities we render to the great sages, ancestors, living entities, and family and society members. Nor has he any need to bother executing the five kinds of yagyas, sacrifices, for becoming free from sinful contamination. Simply by discharging devotional service, he is freed from all kinds of obligations," end quote. The purport is that as soon as a man takes his birth, he is immediately indebted to so many sources. He is indebted to the great sages because he profits by reading their authoritative scriptures and books. For example, we take advantage of the books written by Vyasadeva. Vyasadeva has left for us all the Vedas. Before Vyasadeva's writing, the Vedic literature was simply heard, and the disciples would learn the mantras very quickly and not by reading. Later on, Vyasadeva thought it wise to write down the Vedas, because in this age, people are short-memoried and unable to remember all the instructions given by the spiritual master. Therefore, he left all the Vedic knowledge in the form of books, such as the Puranas, Vedanta, Mahabharata, and Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many other sages, like Shankaracharya, Gautama Muni, and Narada Muni, to whom we are indebted because we take advantage of their knowledge. Similarly, we're obligated to our forefathers because we take our birth in a particular family where we take all advantages inherent property. Therefore, we are indebted to the forefathers and have to offer them pinda prasadam after they are dead. Similarly, to the people in general, we're also indebted, as well as to our relatives, friends, and even animals, such as cows and dogs, who render us so much service. In this way, we are indebted to the demigods, to the forefathers, to the sages, to the animals, and to society in general. It is our duty to repay them all by proper discharge of service. But by one stroke of devotional service, if someone gives up all obligations and simply surrenders unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is no longer a debtor nor obliged to any other source of benefit. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says, quote, "Give up all your occupations and just become surrendered unto me. I give you assurance that I shall give you all protection from all sinful reactions," end quote. One might think that because he's surrendering unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he will not be able to perform all of his other obligations. But the Lord says repeatedly, quote, "Don't hesitate. I don't consider that because you're giving up all other engagements, there will be some flaw in your life. Don't think like that. I will give you all protection," end quote. That is the assurance of Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. There is additional evidence in the Augustya Samhita, quote, "As the regulative principles of scripture are not required by a liberated person, so the ritualistic principles indicated in the Vedic supplements are also not required for a person duly engaged in the service of Lord Ramchandra," end quote. In other words, the devotees of Lord Ramchandra, or Krishna, are already liberated persons and are not required to follow all the regulative principles mentioned in the ritualistic portions of the Vedic literature. Similarly, in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th chapter, verse 42, Karabhajan Muni addresses King Nimi and says, quote, "My dear king, a person who has given up the worship of the demigods and has completely concentrated his energy in the devotional service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead has become very, very dear to the Lord. As such, if by chance or mistake he does something that is forbidden, there is no need for him to perform any purificatory ceremonies. Because the Lord is situated within his heart, he takes compassion for the devotee's accidental mistake and corrects him from within," end quote. It is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita that in many places that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, takes a special interest in his devotees and declares emphatically that nothing can cause his devotees to fall down. He is always protecting them.